7.2.33. Okay, and then in other ways is that these will find expression sometimes in future as we move forward when we have got all the details and all the discussions. In any way is that even this matter, as you indicated, it is in the hands of Treasury, and also it is going to find its expression in SCOPA as and when the times arise. Are we in agreement? Figlen? Yeah.
Thanks, Chair. This matter, it seems as we have spoken about it for a long time, and I'm thinking that as we have all read irregular expenditure booklet, I think partly I support what Dr. Gumede is saying. But at the same time, we are lucky because the minister is here. So this thing is straight. As long as there is an irregular expenditure, someone must account for it. That's why we wanted sometimes to have an inquiry about this issue. So that we must investigate and get who really has done this. So that someone must account. You see, this thing of just letting things to go, it seems as now we are not doing what we're here for. It means that we are promoting corruption, even though all of us, we can see that there's a corruption. So I think inquiry is still needed here. Inquiry is still needed here. We need to talk about it, about this matter, until someone accounts. And Minister, for sure, it needs again investigation, administratively, so that one must account. We know the recommendation of the public protector. We were checking what exactly supposed to be done. But the way we are doing things, it seems as maybe some they've got interest here, or they are beneficiaries. Because I don't see that why someone should support something that protects a straightforward corruption. I thank you.
Yes, Honorable Gumede. Because when I'm looking at my report, Honorable Gumede, also is, I was looking at 7.2.5, 7.2.26, that this also is need some further consideration. Honorable Gumede.
Yes, sir. In fact, the 7.2.33, the proposal was that it should be scrapped because it is being handled according to law. The PFMA and according to regulations, that is the Treasury regulations. Up until then, we can then be in a position to pronounce whether we are supposed to have an investigation or not. Right now, the normal process of the PFMA, after the PFMA, you go to Treasury, and then after the Treasury, then you can consider whether other steps should be taken. And similarly, I would like to withdraw 7.2.25. So the pronouncement is that the stage for an investigation, I think at this stage it is premature to call for an investigation or decide whether to investigate or not. Let us allow the processes to continue as they normally do, and then after those processes have been completed, the due processes, then we can decide whether to investigate or not. Thank you.
Okay. I think the proposal is that the 7.2.33 and 7.2.25, and then to be withdrawn for now, to leave it to go the normal due processes, and then when we get to the end of that, and then we'll then have an opinion as a committee when we're looking at the outcomes of that, those processes. Then, honourable members, then should I start from the first page of the report? And
nothing has changed except from page 18. There was an inclusion from the report. Other than that, it seems from the classic evidence to a typographical.
I think I must still call Adam. Remember that, honourable members, we made just a little bit changes on the other day, and then we asked him to actually also go and just try and do some cleaning. And then he may be having a way just to brief us exactly what he thinks he may have changed. But as far as I'm concerned, is that there are no major changes except that we just reduced the Eastern Cape report in the BRR report, and just tweaking some of those recommendations to be much more clear. Proceed, Adam.
Thank you, sir. So I'm just going to go through the document highlighting where the most significant changes happened. So the first of which is under the heading of the Electoral Commission on page 13 of the document that you have. The document you have, let me just confirm if your pages are the same as mine. So page 13 under the Electoral Commission. Let's see, is this page 13? 14. Yeah. Halfway on page 13, but basically the first heading on that page. We just added some more detail to the indication of IEC shortage of funds. Just basically, the member said that the detail, that there should be more detail on this matter. This is the shorter sentence on 4.4.10 there. Basically, it's including the National Treasury process is already in place. Then under the Government Printing Works, there on 4.4.13, the GPW could remain a government component despite its target to become a state-owned company due to tax, due to regulations. That was just further detail based on the minutes, and the members saying we need to check the minutes on what was actually said in the report, and so we've rectified that. Just to indicate that the GPW might stay a government component based on issues with tax regulations, which is also what the Honourable Minister was dealing with last week, apparently. Then we can move to page 18, which is what is dealt with. Members said we should add additional details on the matter of the IEC's office, Riverside Office Park court ruling, and as well as the implications going forward. So there's further detail there from the heading 5.4, the Electoral Commission of South Africa, and we just include the last four sentences are additional. Basically just summarizing the court ruling that members said we should include, and as well as the following paragraph, which says that well, just making more clear what the twice payment would be, the implications of actually having the lease cancelled and what the implications of it would be. So also they're indicating the exact amount of the irregular expenditure per year. So that's the only major other significance on that page. And then moving on, the next real change comes under the oversight report, which, as the chairperson said, we've we've significantly shortened from about 7 pages to about 3 pages, which is on page 22. Thank you, sir. So prior to this, it was 6.2 on page 22. There is it used to be 7 pages long, and we basically just included a small introduction as well as the members' recommendations, which we've also just cleaned up a little bit. Let's just see. Then, so we'll see the more detail of that report in the report we're going to be adopting this after this. Then from there, it's pretty much only the recommendations at the end that have changed. So we go then to page 33. Oh, wait, you don't have to do that. The pages are different on my report, sorry. It will be from page, because I've removed the oversight report, so it will be on page 30 for you. Going from 29. Okay, so on under committee recommendations, outstanding issues from previous years, on the recommendations of the minister of the members last week, we removed a few of the outstanding issues under 7.1 there, which were that all the GPW staff need to be vetted. So we removed that because that already is in process. Secondly, the filling of the CEO position, we also removed that because the minister, there is a process in process to appoint a new CEO of GPW. And then the 7.1.5 was informing the committee on the process of the draft state printer's bill. And we've heard some progress reports on that already, and it's been split into two apparently. So as far as that's concerned, we've removed that out. So now we only have the recommendation outstanding, those three recommendations. So we only have the three outstanding. All of which are actually on our plans in the coming year. Like the issue of high cost litigation is coming to the committee in this term, and we'll follow up on the quarterly report in terms of the banks and underrepresented communities of the IEC in the quarterly report. Then the recommendations, if we move on to page, the bottom of page 29, what we've done is we've just cleaned up the recommendations relating to the Stacks debate report to make them more general, because there are specific recommendations in the oversight report. And so we've made the recommendations that emanate from that report broader, so that they cover the country as a whole, as opposed to just for the Eastern Cape. So the main ones there relate to perhaps we can just go through the recommendations and see if we still want to keep them all, because we. Other than that, we've removed only those two that we mentioned earlier, the condemnation for the GPW and the IEC have been removed completely. The rest have been just shortened, neatened, etc. So that's basically just and I give you an idea of what's happened so far.
Thank you very much, Adam. I think you have assisted us. And honorable members, starting from page 1. It's just the content of the report, which is going to disappear. And then from page 2, starting from introduction, on page 2, is there anybody that has got an issue to be raised? Dealing with 1.1, the portfolio committee, after the introduction, the portfolio committee on home affairs, the report of the committee is based primarily on that as the basis of the report. And then the Department of Home Affairs, its missions and programs on page 3. Much of these things, they are just simply ordinary things that we, every time when you write this report and then they come in, because it's the basis of our work and the basis of this report. None on page 4. I'm sure on page 4, honorable members, you'll realize that under 2.2, the issue of establishing of the BMA will remain a challenge because until it is passed in the NCOP, then it is beyond the capacity of the department. Very little can be done. And then item number 3 on analysis of the performance and the table is actually on page 5, let us speak a little bit more. 32 targets. That is, now it is 28 for this financial year that we are on. Mm-hmm. Mm. But that's the part that talks about the performance of the department in relation to its own targets. Then on page 6 is the continuation of that analysis. It's none, then now we go to expenditure reports, quarter 1, quarter 2, quarter 3, quarter 4, and then quarter 4 is almost the same as the annual report analysis. On page 7, then it takes us to page 8. Talks that we had 33, we achieved 25, and then 8 missing. We missed them. Of course, is one of them. I think it is the consequence of the BMA that created problems. This section, of course, honorable members, we dealt with on the different specific quarterly reports that we have done. We have just simply extracted the information from what we have done and processed those quarterly reports. And as you see on page 9. Then come the budget and expenditure of the department. 7.05 billion or so. Page 10, the Electoral Commission on 4.2. I'm sure also the other issue that relates to Electoral Commission that you must remember, honorable members, is that they had certain resources which they diverted. They diverted to actually assist themselves with the harvesting of addresses from program number 3 of outreach. That's what they said, and then that they diverted funds with the hope that they will get the funds sometimes. And there is one thing which I don't know in terms of the treasury process. They say they submitted a request for the mini budget to allocate them 181 million, and then now they have not allocated them. They said that then they are referring it to another further committee that will deal with it, which means is that according to them, they may receive the money next year. And then, but the letter that they've received, it talks to a letter of allocation then may be sent to them by the end of October. And I don't know what that means. Does it mean whether it means that they'll receive the money this year from the mini budget, or it is going to be with the main budget next year? Because if it is with next year with the main budget, for them to achieve the June 2018, then it is not a thing that may be achieved. But I think we'll discuss that, honorable members, a little bit later. Let's deal with this report. And then,
Chair, sorry. I just wanted to check, why could we not make a recommendation in this mini budget? Because if it is so critical, because seemingly it is very critical that they get that money back in preparation of the national election. So why can't we have a recommendation that speaks to that? Because the mini budget, this MTEF period is for at least to motivate or recommend for the adjustments that can be done for now up to why can't we put it, consider it?
Yeah, I stand to be assisted on that one, because I can guess now, for the mini budget, I think all preparations should have been done and concluded, everything. Because it is just, I'm sure, about a week or two from now. Yes.
Yeah. She's included at 7.2.28.
Yes. The related recommendation. I mean, to specifically talks to the mini budget. I think that room to influence it now, it should not be there. So is the, but I mean, is the fact that they need to actually fund the IEC to ensure that they are able to source these addresses. I think that one we have addressed. Yes. Page 11. Welcome, honourable. Yes. Are you still the prospective mayor of Etiquette?
No, Chair, I'm heading for bigger things. 2019, you know, maybe the premier or something.
Okay. Thanks, you know, thanks very much. welcome for having joined us. We're just looking at the BRR report. And then the on page 12, the government printing works. And then page 13, then we are now dealing with committee observations that I think Adam has just taken us through, where there has been some adjustment since your meeting of last week. And then page 14. Page 14 deals with the analysis. Thanks that the Derco fiasco has now been resolved. And then we go to page 16. I think the critical thing there is the network connectivity, honorable members, and the public works responsibilities of assisting Home Affairs with accommodation. And I'm sure all of us are aware of the consequences of this thing, that when we don't have proper accommodation of the Department of Home Affairs, even in the rural areas, then issues of security, issues of putting in life capture and all that then starts becoming problematic. And then we definitely need to ensure that our areas have got electricity, then there is security, then public works get the better offices where they can install even these expensive machines for life capture and all that. And but then public works must play their role there. And the network connectivity thing, I think also we really just need to have the department to sort out its business with CEDA. With CEDA. It doesn't look like CEDA is capable of solving the problems of the department. And like as we said last time, there is no problem if the department is exempted and then it sources this connectivity outside until CEDA sort out its own house. And then they may rediscuss or renegotiate their contract. But we can't continue to give explanations that our people are not having services in Pietermaritzburg because the offices are closed, because there is no connectivity. That excuse, I think, it has expired now. Page 17, honorable members. The annual report. I think we really just need also then to really appreciate that the department has improved its audit opinion, and I wouldn't ask you to continue clapping hands like last week. You have clapped hands enough last week, and then but we just want the department just simply to sustain that. To sustain that and even improve more. Page 20. We still regard the State of the Nation address as a source of information to us and then to this department, and then the Invest South Africa Initiative, Operation Pakiza. Tourism, I'm sure you remember the problems we had about the visas with tourism. And then the fight against corruption, the department is doing its best on page 22. You'll remember that the border post at Maseru, almost 20 officials were removed on corruption. And while we are trying to clean there, but then there are challenges of backlog of processing people at that particular border post. But we hope that the department will get over and then and get some more staff to go there and assist, as long as they've removed the corrupt officials. Then the oversight to the Eastern Cape, on page 22 and 23. What we tried to do there on that one, Honourable Members, I guess I explained, is that it was just simply to explain the delegation that went to the Eastern Cape, and then and which areas we have gone there, and then and the kind of observations that we had, but also indicating the report that there is a separate report that anyone wants to read the full report, and then we'll actually just simply access that report, but also that make those particular observations there that we have made there. That is on page 23. On page 24, the DHA budget vote. There has been a reduction from the 2016-17 to 2017-2018. Some reduction has happened, and it happened on the citizen affairs. Okay? There's very little we can do, honorable members, is that the department is part of the government of South Africa, and when they allocate the resources, then there are those that look at all the departments with their what is called competing needs, with all the competing needs, and then but like as we are like anybody else, is that because we are dealing with Home Affairs, we would then like that those that are allocating the resources should be biased to Home Affairs. Would like that to happen, but of course is that we are calling upon that the department must be appropriately budgeted, and as they've increased this mandate of security is a very huge mandate. Okay, then page 25, and then we talk about the IEC budget vote. And then on page 26, then we talk about the government printing works budget vote. Of course, on page 27, right at the bottom, we do have this, that first bullet, we do have it in the... because it is one of its priorities, as it spoke to us on the APPs. That's why we can't. That's why it cannot be removed. But now we know that things have changed. They want to retain it now as a government component, and, or there is that particular view. Until it is concretized, and then we get briefed on it, and then that first bullet then will remain as is. Then page 28, then I have the committee observations on the whole budget vote 5, that's the department including the entities. We have gone through them last week, all of them, but I think the only thing that I want us to go one by one so that there is no confusion is the committee recommendations on page 29. And then I'm therefore looking at 7.2. And then I'm putting 7.2.1 to yourself. We do want the department to sort out the problems with labor unions on weekend work. Are we still in agreement?
Yes.
Agreed. I'm putting 7.2.2. Ensure that life capture system is rolled out in all its offices, especially in rural areas.
Yeah.
Just add areas at the end. Agreed?
Agreed.
7.2.3, ensure adherence to time frame for processing permanent residence permits and visas. There are time frames for this. 7.2.4, further motivate National Treasury to increase funding to DHA, especially in relation to compensation of employee budget for appointment of immigration inspectorate and filling of posts of provincial managers and other critical positions within a reasonable time frame. Agreed? Yes, that's why we talked about critical positions, because we're noting this, Minister, the issue that you are not properly funded, but it should not collapse the department as well. Hence, the post must be looked critically, and then those that will need to assist us to function, then needs to be filled. We're not saying all of them until there is the proper funding and adequate funding. 7.2.5. And then consider deploying immigration officials in and around border areas with no fences to deal with undocumented foreign nationals. So these are areas around the Sterkspruit areas, around the Nkomazi, around the Ingwavuma, around the areas along the Basutus, the other side. And those areas where you've got border communities, where people just cross, and some just cross forever without documents and the rest. And then, are we in agreement? 7.2.6, further pursue the granting of an exemption from using CETA regarding ICT. We are actually asking the department to pursue that, to get that exemption, because ICG can sort out its business.
Agreed.
Then strive to reach 100% of payments to suppliers within 30 days. This is just compliance. That the department do not contribute in killing small businesses. Okay. Then 7.2.8, foster the relationship between the DHA and DPW to expedite getting office space on behalf of the DHA, especially in rural areas.
Okay.
Actually, where there's an operation of mobile offices, that means there are no office space. Then to alleviate the problem of dysfunctional mobile offices, there must be a progressive acquisitions of permanent offices as well. But of course is that security of offices and machinery of Home Affairs is very important, because we wouldn't like people to actually access the National Population Register and start to dirty it. Okay, then 7.2.9, in instances where the DHA office is closed by the Department of Labor, ensure that the department immediately deploy mobile offices so that services to the community are not interrupted. I don't think there's anybody who will fight that one. Agreed? 7.2.10, ensure deployment of mobile offices in more areas of need where there are no DHA offices. including visits to farms. Here, Minister, you have got certain areas where you have got big farms with a lot of people that works there, and they only get out month ending when they go home. And then, and again, is that they are far from offices of DHA. And then now we're saying is that if the Home Affairs can visit this farm, speak to the farm owners, and say on a particular day, then the Home Affairs will bring a mobile office there, and then negotiate with the farmer to release the people on a particular times of the day, then that the people can access those services. You have got big farms. You know, you talk about ZZ2 in Limpopo around the Zanin. It's a very big farm. Then you talk about the Rainbow Cakers. You see, those kind of areas. And then in Northern Cape, I think it is a problem that our offices are far from each other. And so we are saying that Home Affairs, instead of sitting in town and saying people are not coming in the office, there is no, people are not coming here, then they must go and get these people exactly where they are and give them a service. And if they can have scheduled visits to farms and then to certain towns where there is no Home Affairs office as well, then of course we have a routine visit of mobile offices. But they mustn't forget about these farms where it's a lot of people employed in one farm. And those people are not getting the opportunity of accessing Home Affairs offices during working hours and all that. Then we better just follow them and go there rather than sitting in the office and drinking cold drink the whole day. Um, 7.2.11, ensure that the current mobile offices are functioning properly while the new mobile solutions is developed. I think we have been told that there is this development of a new tool for live capture and the rest, but the current ones as well, they must be able to function. 7.2.12, ensure that the issue of fraudulent documents for foreign nationals is dealt with by the DHA and the DHA stakeholder forums. These issues where you find foreign nationals accessing fraudulent documents and others renting documents to foreigners for purpose of registering children to school and all that. And then the DHA then must utilize its stakeholder forums and then to educate. And I think also, of course, we spoke about, there is another one that talks to the impact of that, that it must also be communicated to communities. 7.2.13, find innovative ways to assist people who want to conduct prohibitively expensive paternity tests. The Eastern Cape and elsewhere, such as negotiating with the Department of Health for doctors to come to on specific days to conduct several tests in more rural areas. Here, all what we are saying is that like in the Eastern Cape, where we were at Sterk Spreit, people are expected to go to East London to go and do paternity tests. And it is just long distances that people are not able to do so. And then people then remains there without children, without birth certificates and all that, because certain fathers refuses to accept paternity. And then there is a need for paternity tests to be taken for the child to be registered properly by both parents. And then, but now most of them don't have resources, just to go to East London is problematic. Now we are saying is why Home Affairs then cannot pursue to negotiate with Home Affairs also to have visits into these remote areas on certain days. If people know that test for paternity will be taken on Wednesday, on the last Wednesday of every month. Then the Office of Home Affairs then can package those people and invite them to come on that particular day then for the blood samples to be taken, blah, blah, blah. And also, of course, given the the poverty that we are having, 700 rands for a paternity test, then we are saying is also that the department should engage health and see whether cannot get an exemption for paternity tests and find a way of funding that. But we know that terrain of the fees rests with the Department of Health. But there's nothing that stops the department from negotiating. And then, because it is prohibiting people to register children properly.
But the doctors are not the ones who are fertility tests. So we can just, the Department of Health,
yes,
come on fertility
tests. Yes. Okay. Yes. Or the laboratories.
Yeah.
The labs actually that to come out to. And the lab technicians. Corrected, Adam?
Yeah.
All right, it's corrected according to your input. And then 14, work closely with Minister of Health to ensure that all children born at the health facilities are registered within 30 days after birth. It's agreed. Yeah, the main resolution is the working closely of the with the Minister of Home Affairs and of Health. Then ensure that the Department of Home Affairs follows supply chain management process in procuring goods and services. I think that is a matter that also needs to be so that we reduce the matters of emphasis on their audit opinions. 16, ensure that all people who have committed fraud and wrongdoing are dealt with. Yeah, that is consequence management.
Can you say the consequence management unfold?
Yeah, that is exactly what it means. Ensure that all people who have committed fraud and wrongdoing are dealt with. So you've got all sorts of things. Others have get excused, others have disciplinary hearings, others, and then it's further investigations. Yes. That is exactly what it is. Consequence management is one word for that sentence. Yes. 17, ensure the preparation of an audit action plan to address all issues raised by the Auditor General. I think this one just missed us, Adam. It should not be in the annual report. It should be in the audit outcomes.
Yeah, but that's part of the annual report.
Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is that the Auditor General doesn't raise issues in the annual report. He only raises it in the audit outcome. And then the department then takes that and includes in its annual report. Yeah?
Yes.
Yes.
It's correct, yes, because these are recommendations now are for the department to ensure that the action plans are not done by the Auditor General.
Yes.
They are done by the department. So this is a recommendation to the department that they must do their job.
I don't refuse that. I'm sure maybe you're not picking up exactly what I'm raising.
Okay.
What we are saying, ensure the preparation of an audit action plan. Then we say to address all issues raised by the Auditor General. Now what I'm saying is that when you say the issues raised by the Auditor General raised it in the audit outcome. not in the in the annual report. And then the department then took the audit outcomes and include in its annual report. So these issues have been raised in the audit of the department by the Auditor General. Yes, that's what I'm trying to raise. Yeah. And then 18, motivate for funding to National Treasury for digitization of remaining records in order to curb corruption. Those are those 200,000. It's a million. Yes, that needs to be digitized so that we move from paper, whatever. 19, ensure engagement on the approved migration white paper on an intergovernmental and regional level to provide a policy framework for the drafting of the new immigration and refugee legislation. And then the last one, ensure striving towards a clean audit. I think that is a standard one. Then we go now to government printing works. Ensure that the GPW strive to receive a clean audit for 2017 and the outer years. 2. Ensure that the asset recapitalization by GPW should commence as soon as possible prior to facilities being completed due to the time taken for the process of procuring assets. I think that this is also one that has been done on some of the quarterly reports. Ensure that GPW fills all 105 vacant posts in the current financial year. Ensure that GPW appoint a CEO as a matter of urgency. Then 26, ensure that irregularities in relation to contract and tenders issued by the previous CEO and CFO are investigated. Then we go to the Electoral Commission. 27, ensure that the IEC captures all addresses of voters in the voters' roll before June 2018. To comply with the constitutional order. Twenty-eight, ensure that National Treasury reconsider funding IEC for the ICT platform upgrade and for the harvesting of addresses of voters. 29, ensure that the IEC strive towards a clean audit in 2017-18 and onwards. 30, ensure that the IEC tables amendments to the Electoral Act as soon as possible if needed in preparations for 2019 national and provincial elections. Here we are not looking for amendments. We're saying if they need any amendment, then they must do it as soon as possible, so that you don't get pressured next year. And then 31, ensure that the IEC consider amending legislation to include repercussions and improving the definition of campaigning done on voting days, particularly through various media. I'm sure we discussed this, Minister, before you arrived, that on the election day, you still have TVs flighting campaign materials of political parties, and others also still utilize cell phones, social media, and communicating messages. Even when people are in the line of voting, then they still receive certain messages of campaigning to say vote, what. Then we are saying that we definitely need to deal with this, because those parties that are big with resources and capacity can exploit this, whereas other small parties may not have an opportunity of utilizing this until to the last hour of voting. Therefore, we believe that there must be a reconsideration of legislation to talk to this particular matter, how we can cap this campaigning that is done even on the election day. Then 32, ensure that the IEC addresses its procurement challenges prior to the tabling of its annual report. Also, there are those areas of supply chain that they are having a problem with. That is the last one that I've just read, honourable members. And I hope it looks like you are so happy, honourable Gumede.
Thank you, honourable chairperson. Honourable chairperson, in the financial statements of the IEC, we raised a concern around their asset ratio. That is the ratio of current assets to current liabilities. And then the lady representing finances said she was happy she was not a financial manager. Remember. We are then asked, where are you going to run, get money to run the business on a day-to-day basis? The answer was not clear. Now, my concern is that if this thing is not monitored, and then later in the year, we find that IEC cannot pay for petrol, cannot pay for ordinary expenses, day-to-day expenses, it may result into reputational further risks, reputational risks, and I'm of the view that we make a recommendation that they closely monitor their cash flow, because otherwise the ratio, I do not know now what it was it 0.4 or 0.3? It means for every cent you spend, you owe. For every three or 4 cents you spend, you owe 6 cents. So in a year, you are not going to be in a position to be able to pay for a day-to-day basis, your expenses on a day-to-day basis. So now I don't know whether we put it as a recommendation, or perhaps we find a way of monitoring it, but it has to be monitored, because if it is not monitored, then it may result in management difficulties in the future. That was my proposal, to have it closely monitored.
Okay. I'm sure this the accountants, they talk about liquidity.
Yeah,
liquidity, yes, that kind of a thing. Is it not better that the minister maybe you? I just wanted to say that probably we first process that matter with the IEC in the next quarterly expenditure report and have an intense discussion with them, and then they explain their financial position. And then we will be able to take maybe a particular position. If you could be given an opportunity. Yeah. Yes. Minister.
No, I'm happy with that, Chair, because you remember when we came with them, I think it was around April, May.
Yeah.
It wasn't even clear whether the department can process their work before coming up here. So if you take it moving forward, it will help a lot.
Okay.
And then, honourable members, then I'm putting the report, the BRR report, to yourselves. The whole of it. Nithini. Anukwazi kubinza phe. Benginanda umangifunda le. You want to start, Minister?
Yeah, I wanted to check something.
Yeah.
the recommendation to deviate from CETA, that the department should be allowed to be exempted. It might be a difficulty here, because at the moment the whole government is still bound to work through CETA. I know other ministries within the justice cluster have tried to do that. So, you see, I don't know what is the issue here. It's really improving our capacity to work on contracts in this area of telecom. Because that, I think that's what is the problem. I know that they take long, they do whatever, but I don't think we can get that exemption for now.
Yeah, I think our problem, Minister, here is that we did engage Post and Telecommunications. We had a joint meeting on this particular matter. What is happening is that SARS has deviated from that. SARS is outside CETA, and then and the SARS is at the airport. And their system is better than ours at the airport, whereas we are actually together there at the airport with the SARS, the customs. And then now, the problem I think is that with CETA, you have got three legs before the connectivity comes to Home Affairs office. And when there is a breakdown, then there is a chain that takes even more than so many hours before it actually gets to the person that must fix it. And then, so the intention was that if they could reduce those legs, but we did have a briefing last year with CETA, and CETA came here, promised us heaven and earth, and then November, then we had a further meeting. Then there was no improvement. There was no improvement. Actually, when we got them, they were telling us about reconfiguration and all that, and the changing systems, when the system that they had was not a system Home Affairs. So that is the problem. I think that this recommendation is based on the current situation with SARS. And SARS is enjoying a good connectivity, which Home Affairs is not. And but as we are saying, is that the way that SARS, the customs and Home Affairs, they are almost like that. And then, but the other one has got less reliability. So that's what we were just trying to improve. They were given an opportunity. I think we engaged them when Kubai was still the chair of Telecom. Mm. Yes, we had, in this very room, I think. We embarked on that one, and then we were promised that CETA will do that. They employed a new CEO who was coming from private sector, who was very ambitious. Yes, but we said, no, okay, we hear you. In November, we'll have a follow-up meeting. Now comes November, and then things have changed. Actually changed to the west. Yes. That CETA looks like it does not have capacity to do anything. But probably all what we are saying is that we can't give you the permission and the exemption. We are just simply saying that the department must pursue that. Give reasons to whoever that is supposed to be pursued, so that we get Home Affairs assisted. And if it fails, it fails. But the intention should be to assist Home Affairs to be able to, you know, it's, I think, Minister, you are not the person that we can tell you this. You know better. You see, a person that travels in Stenga from those rural areas to go to a Home Affairs office and find the office closed, because there is no connectivity. And that person cannot go home, then must find a way of sleeping in the area with the hope that tomorrow it will be open, but without guarantee. That is the problem.
Chair,
yes.
I'm sorry to come back. I think, Chair, when it comes to connectivity, there is a bigger problem which the department has spoken about, that since 2010, a decision was taken that we piggyback on SARS. And so it's a bigger problem, like more than speed. People will joke and say our data, our networks are on in an ICU. They can collapse anytime. So it's more than just a problem with data. It's home affairs to build its own infrastructure. I think the current tender process is doing exactly that, where Home Affairs is working on its own infrastructure, because the one of 2010 is too old, and it's not. SARS agreed to host Home Affairs, but it. Also, the service providers are outside SARS. So there's just, with regard to our networks and our the infrastructure for our networks is at high risk at the moment. And so that's why I just thought maybe it could be an underestimate when we just focus on the data. It's really about
yeah, we are just trying to enable, just to enable the department to sort that problem out. And
from the response from the minister, I think we must double. I mean, this 7.2.6. We must rephrase it and make it even a flash to say. We talk to the issue of infrastructure networks of the department, and then we also tie this with this. It must not be just that an exemption only. We must just put it in a way that talks to the infrastructure as well as the issue of the exemption, if possible, regarding the issue of to improve, because the main objective is to improve service delivery on this month. So I think let us rephrase this, Chair, rework it. So for Adams must help us improving this, and then we can also include the infrastructure network issue. Thank you.
What I've indicated there is that I'd rather say further pursue alternative solutions regarding ICT services and infrastructure within the DHA. Just so it's not only for using CETA, but also in-house or whatever it is to address. Maybe to say we could say to address ICT service and infrastructure challenges within the DHA.
Can I repeat it?
Okay, sure. Further pursue alternative solutions to address ICT service and infrastructure challenges within the DHA.
And then the infrastructure built. I think it talks to exactly what the department is trying to do. To take this matter to this PICC, Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission, which is chaired by the President, that it must be looked at under 15 of the telecoms, because it's big. All the problems of rural home affairs offices and so on, the long queues won't stop if this infrastructure built is not. I think that's broader. It's the infrastructure of our network. Because that's where the problem is.
Okay. All right. Are we done? You had your hand up?
No.
You never had your hand up? Okay. I'm putting the whole report to yourself.
I move the adoption of the report with
the amendment.
Amendments, Chairperson.
Okay, anybody that supports Umam Dambu? Umam Penny?
I'm supporting Umam Dambu on the adoption with amendments. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And then anybody who has got problems with adopting the report? None. Thank you very much, honourable members. Then we'll deal with the final document that it goes to the parliamentary process. Can we then look at the next one is the self-trade report. I hope that you've got copies of that. Let's start with the first page. The first page, honourable members, introduction as well. The delegation at the bottom, is it correct? Just realized that Adam and Eddie now they are fond of using the Roman figures. I thought that Adam said it's on your instruction.
Yes, the delegation at the bottom numbered in Roman figures and are all members that were there captured there? Aswin Odali. Zoifunda and Zoifunga. Aswin Odali. No. Yes. Page 2. Briefing session by the provincial office. Is there anything that anybody has on page 2? None. Page 3. It's just the capturing of actually what happened when you were there. The engagement, and there's no analysis, nothing. Just exactly what has been captured for that we are doing and what we have picked up and then being told by people, and that's it. Then page 4. Make
so I'm supposed to take you back, ne? On page 2. That's a small correction.
Okay.
On page 2. Something that talks to 2.2, it was reported that the municipality is rural municipality. Can we say... But what I think of, because of these two many municipalities in that city, can we say it was reported that the municipality is rural in nature?
Or they can...
Remove that second municipality. It was reported that the municipality is rural in nature. Not to say, okay, it's a rural municipality.
There's an element of tautology. Those that have done English A. Okay, I think you can just rework that sentence, Adam. As long as it doesn't lose the meaning. And then I was on page 4. Assist us. Honourable members. maybe we should take a resolution and ask the parliament to classify the portfolio committee on home affairs to be like intelligence, where we leave cell phones outside. Page 5, you've got no problem. Page 6.
Agreed, page 5.
No? Then the backup door, page 7.
Agreed.
Nobody's got a problem. Page 8. Then we are at Adwal North Museum office.
Agreed.
I'm sure Panovan is spending a lot of time on the telebridge. The telebridge Raputi. Okay, then the hospital where Mom Kenny wanted to beat me. This one's higher. Is it captured correctly? Okay, let's look at the observations then. There was a good relationship between DHA and steps rate and the municipality. That's what we observed. There was joint programs and all that. Two, DHA and steps rate does not have immigration inspectorate, although the area is closer to the border with the Sud. Nothing. Maybe the father needs to know this report, to recommend the whole report to be adopted so that we finish quickly. Because I need to go to the hospital. The DHA office in Selfridge was closed by the Department of Labor due to unsuitable working conditions. That's what we observed. Then the Department of Public Works did not help the DHA for several years when it was given a notice to close in 2012 by Labor. Then what the committee heard about the conduct of the DHA officials contradicted what Mr. Sona wrote to the committee and not attending the public meeting at Sina Village heightened suspicions on his credibility. I think that's what we picked up, because that's the village which he was boasting of when he went to that village and to meet the community. And then he disappeared. Then the DHA stakeholder forum is headed by a councillor, which at times could alienate some people who wanted to get involved, given the political orientation. I think that honourable members, I'm not sure, minister, what that we can do. Because once the stakeholder forum is headed by an ANC councillor or a DA councillor, that will just simply bring in some sort of tension. It needs to be led by somebody else who's not having a political office. I don't know how it's going to be done, but that is the issue.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think perhaps it could be better phrased by saying that the DHA stakeholder forum is headed by a councillor and at times that could alienate some people who wanted to get involved, given the political orientation.
We replace which with?
And that at and times...
We replace with and.
Yes. And that yeah. at times could alienate.
And the that?
At times. Time. Yes, rather than say which could.
Okay.
I'm not sure whether the committee need to make it clear that see, once it's a councillor, it's a political figure.
Yes.
If the idea is to mobilize the community, it has to be a recognized development worker in a community. It could be a local priest. Could be a person heading an NGO and so on. But once you limit to councillors, it makes it political.
Yeah, that's what your question is. Your question is that that's what they've observed, that it is headed by a council. And that would actually stop other people from different political parties
yeah.
from participating. Mm. That's what you're observing.
Okay.
And, and then there were people who were allegiant to renting out their identity documents in order for others to register children as South Africans and access services that are meant for citizens, of course, it's South African citizens. Then there are Sotho nationals who are allegiant to paying South Africans to register children in order to access the documentation. Then the paternity test required by the DHA to confirm if a man is a father are prohibitively expensive. $700. That's the figure that was mentioned. And the majority of people in the area rely on social grants and cannot afford the amount and the transport costs. That's what we observed there. Committee members witnessed people from the south walking in plain sight. Lavans knew then they will help us. In plain sight with containers of fuel, which is petrol, being apprehended by SANDF. They were merely sent back across the border without further procedure. The committee expressed concern at the lack of fencing and apparent disregard for the border. I think here we can just simply explain one thing, is that there was a river there at Terre Rouge. But of course the river is drying out. The people right now are just walking out. And just like many other areas, sometimes our border is just a river. And then people just walk across. And then we have got soldiers there. But You see, you know what happens when you have soldiers for a long time in one area, then they get actually mixed up with the community and become one. If you deploy police, as well in a police station for a longer time, then they become part of the community. Then everything else then becomes a little bit difficult. I think that's the situation we are having there. We have a border post. We have got officials there, we have got the soldiers to do their job, but they just simply don't do what is supposed to be done. So which means that certain things have to be up to them, and then so that we are able to deal with these things. And it's just a question, I mean, it's just like our own officers of Home Affairs. They actually get used to the communities they are working with to an extent that they actually even try and use their discretion. There are people there that come from Lesotho to give birth in South Africa. And when they've given birth, the children doesn't have papers, then they just simply walk across again through the same border, walk across and then back to Lesotho. And then our officers then cannot say anything, cannot do anything. Because they understand their situations now, they are part of one community of understanding each other. So I think we just need to up the our work in those border posts, and we expect that Jackson would look at this, and the Border Management Authority then will also come handy on this particular case. Then you have got now 10, Jamestown, Steinsberg, and Centerstadt. These are small towns in the Eastern Cape, far from each other. And in all of them, there is no Home Affairs office. Okay? Then they were crying, let alone the farms around them. And then there is a good relationship between DHA and Walter Sisulu local municipality. That is where they have given them an office free of charge for now. But we have made it clear that Home Affairs cannot expect to get an office free of charge forever, because the municipality also has competing needs, and everybody must pay for his dues. And then they must plan. Home Affairs must plan to pay what is supposed to pay, especially as we go to the first the new financial year. They must budget accordingly and pay. Because this municipality, of course, I think even though that they have given them free of charge that office, they are misbehaving. Because they are going to be called to order, because they can't claim that they have got no resources when they are able to give resources free of charge. It's going to be a contradiction going forward. But in any way, the mayor indicated that free use is limited. It's not going to be forever. Of course, we recorded it on 12. DH was not paying for the office space in Bergersdorp. Then the area around Bergersdorp was vast and rural farms.
Okay, if you are saying the DHA was not paying.
It's not paying now.
Yes.
It should be east.
Yes.
Currently. The space they've been given to you, they are not paying a cent now. That's the current situation. But like as I'm saying, is that what we have tried to inform the Home Affairs official is that then they should actually ensure that when they go to the new financial year, that they plan correctly, they budget correctly, so that the municipality don't cry about Home Affairs. That we don't have money because Home Affairs is not paying us and all that, then there may be a lot of squabbles moving forward. It's a rural municipality that needs to be assisted by all means. And then the 14 school children from Lesotho commute daily to school in RSA across the board. They just walk across Telebridge. But what do they score? Walk from the school and then take city driver and my exam. Now they border post, then they walk across. The recommendations. 9-1. The DHA should consider deploying more immigration inspectorates in and around Terrestrial to deal with undocumented foreign nationals. Agreed? DPW should expedite getting office space on behalf of the DHA. In instances where DHA office is closed by the Department of Labor, and then should deploy mobile offices so that services is not interrupted. I think that this, we have also captured it in the BRR. The DHA should encourage community members to work through the DHA stakeholder forum. Then the issue of fraudulent documents for foreign nationals should be dealt with by DHA and the DHA stakeholder forum.
Okay. I think that's
9.4.
9.4.
Yes.
should also relate to what we have been talking about, the issue of the stakeholder forum that is led by the councillor. So that your recommendation, it should not be a councillor.
Yes.
It should be a community representative. Because Ghana is corn in danger. I don't know. People don't attend because there are only issues. So it must not be a councillor that is chairing that.
Let's add on just simply he said 9.12 to speak to that. The DHA stakeholder forum should not be led by a politician. Yeah, we can't just simply say politician.
Yeah.
Yes, everybody else is a politician. The problem is holding an office.
That's it.
I think it's
all about
just make sure that
must
not be, not be led by a politician holding a political office.
Not politicians, by someone holding a political
office. Yes, it makes sense. As long as you make reference to your political office, because otherwise everybody is a politician, we are members of political parties.
Yes.
And then 9.5, the DHA should consider to negotiate with the Department of Home Affairs for the laboratory to come from East London.
The sentence, if I read about 9.4, the issue of fraudulent documents for foreign nationals should be dealt with by the Department of Home Affairs and the stakeholder forum. I think the municipality must be involved because those issues must be discussed. For instance, I referred to a case where we have so many shops in the town, those rural towns, and you are not sure if those people are being registered within the municipality, all of them. So I think that issue of foreign nationals and documents and the rest, it must be these three, municipality, home affairs, and then the stakeholder forum. It must be dealt with them by all of them. Because once there is a problem, when the communities are fighting these foreign nationals, at the end of the day, the municipality gets involved in solving that problem.
Yeah, but Comrade Dambuz, if I understand correctly, the stakeholder forum is the forum that is established through the office of the speaker of the municipality.
Yeah.
That's my understanding. They are actually a forum that is, that's why they have even made this particular mistake of deploying a council to head it. All the stakeholder forums, if I know correctly, they are actually based in the speaker's office of every municipality.
Okay.
Yes, it's actually a municipal structure.
All right.
Yes, so.
No cover.
Yes.
Sorry, Chair.
Yes.
But even if, the speaker is the responsibility for public
liaison.
But does it mean, for instance, in some areas, where at the valley, we found one of the members of the mayoral committee being the chair of the stakeholder forum.
Yeah.
Obviously, you limit it to a political party.
Yes.
Depending on who gets elected, if it's somebody who is hostile to national government, there could be serious problems. So even if the speaker helps to mobilize, to coordinate, a recommendation can still hold that the speaker will identify, like these advisors who advise councillors. They are really respected people who get elected through a public process by the community. They are not necessarily, and clearly they are not members of any political party. I think he has something, I don't know, in the recommendation, and maybe it must be a little bit clearer. Because in areas where I've seen, you end up seeing members of one party, and you realize that you lose what it's supposed to achieve.
No, that one I think we agree. That's the one that we said Adamas inside as 9.12. We're talking on this one of solving the problems of fraudulent documents. Honorable Dambuza was saying we should also include the municipality. I was saying that this stakeholder forum actually is based in the speaker's office. Mm-hmm. And then it's a structure of public participation which are headed, I think it's, we have been informed there that it is actually coordinated from the speaker's office of all municipalities. Hence, that forum, they report its work to the speaker. That is the little bit of the understanding that I have about this stakeholder forum. Which means is that if there is anything, the municipality then will have to deal with that.
So
okay.
I agree, Chair.
Yes.
I'm saying, but it must be a body on its own. It must not cloud 9.4.
Okay. Adam, can separate that. 9.4. Just separate the first sentence, and then with the one that starts with the issue of fraudulent document.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But is it? Sorry, Chair.
The question of fraudulent documents, I mean, how can that be resolved in a popular manner? Because it's really an expecting with inspectors and relevant officials who are in a position to assist with that. In most communities, you find that actually people collude and say, we've known these people for a long period of time. They live with us and so on. When our inspector says no, but they are undocumented, then there's a conflict between the department and them. So it's one area which I wouldn't make it to be a popular activism thing, because it calls for those who are trained, the inspectors and others, to really deal with those issues.
Yeah,
thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Mm. But in many cases, you find that around Lesotho, Swaziland, and so forth, it's one family, but on the different sides of the border, and they go to weddings, family weddings, cross borders, and so forth. And at one stage, there was a dispensation that was tried around the Botswana border on this matter under one chief. How far has it gone? I do not know, but there was. You remember, there was a special arrangement, and I do not know whether Honorable Minister, you took it over or what, because I think it's better to develop on that one. Is it too power what? Because, for instance, I was in Pongolo. The Chief Changa say he's a chief both in Swaziland and in Pongolo, in South Africa. So now, what do you do about that? They attend each other's funeral, weddings, and these types of things. So a move was initiated, but I do not know how far it is. And I thought that it would better be monitored by those communities more effectively rather than soldiers, because I think a chief or at least indunas are more interested in the integrity of the system, because you want a system with integrity. A soldier perhaps with some shoe sense or with a girlfriend and so forth may be corrupted. Yeah, but if you have a chief or with his indunas, then it's very difficult for them to compromise their integrity if they understand that if they corrupt the system, then the alternative will be will have just to enforce the law.
The other issue is that I think as was discussed, I'm sure you look at 9.10, is that we're trying also to develop as proposed in the last meeting, is the campaign, the educational whatever, is that what are the impact of these fraudulent documents within the community, and when they rent a document, what are the impacts to it and all that. So that's more or less what we're saying, because we expect that the stakeholder forum is supposed to be an educational and a training structure that informs people on how to actually access the documents of Home Affairs and then also appraise them on the wrong ways of accessing these documents and the impact thereof. That's what we're just looking at, all the stakeholder forum and the department. But that doesn't stop the actual immigration inspectors, the police, and whoever to implement the law on criminality or whatever. That is still continues.
Chair, also sorry, before Minister, I think, Chair, this issue of foreign nationals is just broad, because now we are referring to the specific, this report talks to a specific area of which we do have these kind of scenarios where you find that there are people, there are relatives, some of them are on the other side, and then on the, so they cross every day to visit the other their relatives. So I think the word there is very broad. I think let us be specific, not foreign nationals or the communities that that are from the other side. There should be those issues must be dealt with, because if you are talking about the foreign national, you are also referring to somebody who's coming from the north. Mm-hmm. So, only the relationship that we are trying to build within this community.
But that is the situation. I think we have seen people, the people from Bangladesh are crossing there at that telebridge, Bangana, Chinese, and all sorts of them. Let alone those that are having relatives across the fence. Because the problem of those that are having relatives across the fence is that the relative comes across and utilize an ID book of this one, this side, to register the child. Or byum register la ku Home Affairs. See, it's not the mother. It's an aunt of a person staying in Lesotho. But then that person in Lesotho comes with a child this side, then makes the aunt to be the mother to register this child to get South African birth certificate, so that then the child then can school in South Africa. But then on the document, on the certificate, the one that is there that is purported to be the mother is not the mother. The mother is staying in Lesotho. You see? So those are some of the things that happens around there. You see? One problem is like on Alapa. That's why then we are saying is that if the stakeholder forum then do its work, it should be able to train people how people can access these particular documents correctly, and what are the implications of trying to do these wrong things. Because at the end of the day in Home Affairs, honorable members, is that if you are a mother, you register a child to get a birth certificate who is not your child. When you want to go and register your child and the child is 6 months or so apart in birth, then Home Affairs system then refuses. You'll never register another child who is close to each other in birth. Then it becomes a problem. So then others every day are doing that, especially in the KZN. Where, you know, it's others then give birth and leave the children with their grandmothers there. And then they go to Joburg and do the rest. The grandmother registers the child as if it's a child. And then once then the children looks to be too close to each other, because umntwana wabhuti wakhona umntwana wasisi then basele lapha nalogogo aba register utholakala ukuthi no the birthdays are too close to each other, system rejects, then bayakhala, you see. So there are consequences of trying to abuse the system, and others of course it reject because of the old age. If the old lady is the old lady that is, can, you know, is, cannot be expected that she'll give birth, but I think as already said, 2 years. So it just becomes a problem in the system. So, where we are we now? 9.6. Then we are saying now that the department must have scheduled deployment of mobile offices to. Okay, okay. Then to Jamestown, Steinsberg, and Venterstadt, where there is no DHA office, and arrange scheduled visit to farms to provide services. We agree on that one. Right, Mam Kane.
Before that, let's go to 9.5, because
we need
to talk to 9.5.
They are going to borrow 3 paternity test.
Yes, I just want to have something on that.
Yes.
I think, can we remove the laboratory? We can just remove, you say DHA should consider to negotiate with the DOH to come from East London on specific days to just remove the laboratory part of it. Because the DHA is not only, is not the blood is not only taken in the laboratory. If the doctors do take it must not be specific, because when you talk about Department of Health, it's okay not to add the laboratory, because even in hospitals the doctors do take blood to the laboratory.
Okay, there is no problem. For the laboratory, delete. The rest is fine. Agreed. 9.6, then you are agreeing with 9.6. Would level Jamestown and then deploy mobile offices. Although is that we would encourage the department to have physical offices there, accommodation in those towns. But we can do so because we know that there is no money. Then they let them deploy the mobile offices, but progressively replace mobile offices everywhere with proper accommodation. Then 7, the issue of recommendation letters by tribal chiefs for land acquisition and school principals for school registration to be referred to PC of COGT and PC of Basic Education for consideration. Here we are just simply trying to talk to the issue that relates to this Lesotho people that comes and then the Induna give them piece of land this side. And then Bantwana Bapumangalene, and then the principals write a letter and then recommending the child to be registered at the school and all that. But those are the terrains of issues of residency then belongs to cooperative governance and the rest, the municipality. And then our PC here then can also go and look at that and see themselves what is happening there and the proposed recommendations. And then the issue of education as well of foreign children that doesn't have birth certificates but recommended by letters from principals, then getting registered, and then seeing the basic PC on basic education, then they go and actually look at it, because we can't conclude ourselves without knowing the policies of the Department of Basic Education in relation to acceptance of children at school. Yes, Wagan, Mam Kane.
Yeah, we're gonna check it, but as I said previously, can't we talk also to the department, also engage Department of Rural Development to be engaged here, because it talks to land reform, and also that the rural development are the ones who are doing also the audit of the land. Not only traditional assets, because I understand we are talking about crop, that we want to take the traditional assets, land, the land that belongs to the chiefs. But also rural development must be here for that land, because they also take part in land claims and land reforms. Thank you.
Are you in agreement?
Yes, I'm saying I agree with that. I agree with the addition.
Why are you not agreeing with the addition?
No, you talk on even myself, I just missed it, because the issue of recommendation letters by the tribal choose for land acquisition.
Yes.
So I think it is important that the department should also be involved. Because we'll find that sometimes that land belongs to government and so on and so on.
No, it's not a problem. I think it's Adam can capture it and have it. And have that in there.
Mm.
Agreed?
Agreed,
sir. 9.8? 9.8. Should ensure that it negotiates for more space, office space as well as well.
Actually, I think it should initial sentence. The department should, because this is a recommendation, they should negotiate. They should negotiate and motivate. Negotiate and motivate for more space in Burgersdorp and strengthen the security. What is this now? So these are two. Any sentence, Chair. If you talk of security,
in the office, there is an office there.
Let's talk to who were there.
Yes.
Yeah, because I remember I'm the one.
So, in acting, I chair the last time I was motivated, Mama negotiate for more space. The security is already there.
Let's explain, Pelobu. We need to explain what is happening there. That there is a building, an old building.
Yes.
And then they've occupied part of it.
Okay.
And then the other part, the Babanigala.
Yes.
But it is open, dirty, and it's ignored and whatever. And once you get in there, you can access Home Affairs office without trouble. Now we are saying that because the small space, the remaining part, and actually then also make that building more safe and secure.
Yeah,
for my family. Yes.
That is what I'm saying.
Yes.
They should negotiate and motivate for more space, office space, because it is already there, that space, as we are saying.
Hmm. Okay.
And so I'm covered. The only thing that is needed.
It looks like Adam understood you. Very good.
Yeah, I still remember, Chair, I'm the one who proposed it. And about the security. Yes, the space, we should expand the space, and even to give up the security. Yes, the space is there to expand it, and also the security issue. It's a problem. Thank you. Because I'm the one who motivated this.
Yes.
And
But the issue of security is very, very
critical.
So you say that you should separate these two? Adam. What do you call the word engineer?
Re-engineer.
Word engineer. It's a word smith. As long as you understand what we are trying to say, then it's fine. Okay. And then let's get to 9.9 then.
Why are you suggesting, sir?
No, Adam was from Delayo. Masari. Already? 9.8, Adam?
The DHS should negotiate and motivate for expanded office space in Burgersdorp and endeavor to strengthen the office security.
Okay. Then we go to 9.9. The committee suggested that hospitals should include DHA in their discharge checklist for best registration as part of their procedure.
We are recommending here. We have already said we are recommending that the committee recommends, that the committee recommends that.
I had DNA in mind.
Oh,
DNA test. Sorry.
It's a new term.
No, not a DNA. We know that there was a story, I think, about the DNA test, to confirm children. But it was a hoax, I think. Yeah, 9.10, and then we said DHA should embark on awareness campaign on the impact of renting out their identity documents.
Chen, because if it's best strong, city vigorous, embark on a vigorous awareness campaign. Yes, vagale, be vigorous, be robust, whatever.
It said that Adam. Done.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the last one is then the minister should negotiate exemption. We know it's I know that it is going to be the biggest task in the world. Yes.
Shortage of money.
Because remember that fees, wherever they are paid, whoever wants those fees is also for budgetary problems, to solve their finances. And once you say no, it must not be paid, in other ways you say they must not recover costs, then it always becomes a big
problem.
Okay. Honorable members?
So what are you saying?
I don't know, Chairperson, if this sentence to me is not complete if we're talking about rural areas also only, because I'm thinking about the indigent people who are also residing in other areas. Can't we also add that, not only to talk about rural areas, because the reason why then we're talking about the rural areas on the proximity, we're talking about the proximity of the Island versus but now here we are talking about the costs which they cut across not only the rural areas. Can you say add the indigent? I don't know whether the indigent people can you say indigent?
How many children are
indigent? Yeah?
Look. The problem is,
I think we must also avoid the problem that for a person to be classified as an indigent must register as such to the municipality. And then now, once you use the word indigent, that indigent you only qualify when you register the municipality on the indigent roster or register. If you are not registered then you cannot be called as such. So that's why I'm saying I just want you to be sure to be aware that if you use the word indigent, there is people that are actually indigent but are not registered and they may not access it. So ni krafteka atle kuti no to accommodate the people who want it to accommodate.
Oh, okay, I understand now, Chairperson, because the word indigent, we must look for another word. What word can you use for that? Just think it. Because I think about the poorest of the poor also who are not in the rural areas.
So that was a niche.
Pardon, Peter?
Yeah.
Yes, but
Chair, is there really a problem if we talk to rural areas and other and what do you call it, indigenous? Yes, it's the right word actually.
Indigenous is the right way. The problem is that you have people that are actually indigenous, but not having that with the municipality.
But I think more and more people have been made aware that you must register. I've heard councillors during campaign saying that. And it helps because you don't have to screen a person. That person has already been screened, is identified. Even our cost, smart ID cards, these things are not affordable. If we go that route, I think it can help a lot. Because they are already in the kitty for government that they are in great need.
So we must speak about the DHH negotiated exemption of paternity test for indigenous people.
Yeah.
Is that what we are saying?
Yeah.
No, it's fine.
I said
as long as we understand the impact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because of course is that whoever would want to access this, then Home Affairs will need a certificate from some counselor to certify that person is an indigent person. If that doesn't happen, then it will be wonka wonka. The only way to actually manage it that it is through is indigent, it will be through the municipality, that somebody wants to access the paternity test, claims to be indigent, must have a certification from the relevant municipality. Yes.
So can remove rural areas because there are people who can afford in the rural areas. I've removed it. We said this paternity test cost for indigenous people.
Because that was the last recommendation with Tin Mamkin. With the changes. Who else supports her? Mamnis.
Yes.
Can you press the button and speak so?
Chair, I support the adoption.
All right. And then who else is having a problem if I adopt this report? None. No, thank you very much. And then Eddie will then process this particular document and put it in the parliamentary system. Honorable members, we spoke about the memorandum that was sent to us by the deputy chief, deputy speaker, about the march in support of migrants and refugees. And what is in here is that they are taking certain strong policy positions in relation to migrants. It's not a small matter. It's not a small matter. And I hope that all of you have read it. And then I should be able to get some sort of a response from yourselves. Honorable Gumede.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think we do not have a problem with to be open to good and positive feedbacks on the green paper by different stakeholders to support good and just policies around migrants and refugees, to be committed to work against xenophobia and other toxic behaviors towards foreign nationals. But we are also having questions, questions around asylum proposals that they have made, and issues of supporting what seems to be a removal, total removal of borders, looking at the sovereignty of the country and then the sovereignty of other countries like Lesotho and so forth. So my proposal would be that this proposal with other proposals be tabled for a later hearing, so that some other issues can be clarified. There are issues about migrants that are raising tensions in the country. There are issues with the police. We've been seeing something on YouTube. Some people assaulting police and so forth. So that climate in the country has created some heat more than light. So I would propose that we take this document and then consider it for tabling later in the committee, so that we can properly consider it with other documents on refugees and migrants. But as things stand, I would have a problem adopting it. Thank you.
Any other comment? Honorable Hussein?
Chair, may I just ask, what exactly are we required to do with this?
Well, this particular matter, memorandum has been sent to the Speaker's office, and then the Speaker, because it talks about migrants, then they've just simply referred it to us. And then for processing, remember, we are the arm of the Speaker's office to be able to process the work of Parliament. And these people, then they sent this. Probably they want a response, I don't know, it's from the Speaker's office. But what is happening here is that we have a new migration policy that is coming. And then it has got certain points that it's trying to address. But what is contained here, these people here, they are almost saying that, no, we must not worry, people must just come in, must stay, my house is your house and all that. But then the question is, the big question, of course, is that South Africa is a sovereign state. And again, when you look at the preamble of our constitution says that we'll respect other sovereign states as well as such. And therefore, if we have to move towards any particular situation of open borders, it has to be done in measured way, progressively, together with all other countries. But then that's what I'm saying is, they are actually calling here for a very strong policy position on migrants. So I think it is also better that what I've heard as a proposal, that maybe we keep it for time being and have a date where we can invite them. Then they come and sit here, and then you can ask them questions and let them explain themselves. What is that they are proposing? What is that they are believing in? And then only when we have heard them, then we can decide how we respond to the deputy speaker. Let me just hear Hussein.
I'm not opposed to the suggestion, so may I suggest then that we ask the deputy speaker's office to write back and say exactly that to them.
Yeah.
I mean, if people take the effort to come here to Parliament and to deliver a memorandum, then you must respond to them. You just don't know how long this thing will sit there until you have the opportunity to invite them. So I'd like to propose that, I'm not opposed to your suggestion that we deal with it properly at a later stage, but in the least, at least, they be receive a written response to say that this is what our intentions are in the future. And then
okay. Mam Dambuz.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. With due respect, I think this letter, I mean, whatever, it's a memorandum. I don't think we have to respond today. I just want to propose or to amend what Honorable Hussein and my Honorable Hibre has said. This letter has just come now today. So we just propose that you and your office can respond to the office of the Speaker to say we have received this and the committee is going to consider it for consideration in the next meeting. So that in our next meeting now we can look at this and read this thoroughly and then we take a decision to say what the proposal by the whip to say we may invite them to come before us and then we discuss these matters and then we said the policy, because that's when we're going to advise them that the policy issues, there are some issues that are on the pipeline, for instance the immigration that was still being raised. So I think for today you propose that we are giving you a mandate to respond to the office of the acknowledge a receipt of this and is for consideration by the committee in the next meeting. And then we discuss it, now we know what decisions are we going to take now, proper decisions. And thereafter, and since I, and then we still have a way forward, Chair. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Raput.
A chairperson, because this thing came back though, we need more consultation, and I support what Mam Dabusa has said. And really, we've been stating that we are not xenophobic, and re-emphasizing again, and more consultation needs to be done, and then we thank you. We've got a bill on that issue. We thank you.
Okay. I think it's the biggest resolution that I want from yourselves is that we should invite them to come and speak to us. That is the decision. That's all. Yes, and Hussein?
Chair, can I just say something? I'm not opposed to any of these suggestions. I just want to make this one point. You know, we say this is the People's Parliament.
Yes.
This letter takes 5 months to come from the gates there, through the Speaker's office, wherever, to here.
Hmm.
5 months.
No,
the point I'm trying to make
yes.
is that when people take the initiative to come and communicate at the seat of government, at least let's have the respect to offer them that courtesy to give them
order,
please.
Yeah.
Give them the courtesy, man. Yeah. Write back and say this is what we've decided. What is wrong with that? You know, whoever, whether the Speaker does it or you do it, but somebody should write back to them to say, we've considered this thing. This is what we intend doing. As a matter of courtesy, they came here to give you a message. Write back and give them at least some sort of response.
Yeah,
it's been 5 months already. I mean, that's the least thing that you can do. The least you can do is to give them that courtesy. But you can decide what you want to do. No matter what I say, you guys will just do what you want. Just...
you now have started, you want me to change the gear. No, honorable members. Honorable members, remember that this document arrived at the speaker's office. How it arrived there, I don't know. Whether it was handed over officially to the speaker's office, we don't know. Whether it was sent by post, we don't know. And the speaker's office and the administration in the speaker is the one that must, if it came by post, is the one that must write an acknowledgement letter to them. And then from there, then they refer it to the relevant committee. And then when we finish processing it, then we will write the report back to the speaker's office. Then they see how they communicate it again back to the originators of the memorandum. Yes. So, ourselves, we have got only an opportunity that when we want to process it, we can invite them directly and say to them that we have received a memorandum that you sent to Parliament, then that we want to invite you to come on this specific day. Then we process the matter. But then the report then will end up going to the Speaker's office, then the Speaker's administration, then communicate back to the origin of the document. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry to talk when you have summarized. I think I agree with honorable members that we have to process it properly. But I thought when you respond to the speaker, you can also assure the speaker the efforts that the committee has made in ensuring that our policies are not conducive to any negative treatment of people, just even if you attach them. Because I think there's been a lot of work, even online you see how much work effort has been put in to make sure that the existing immigration policy, the refugee bill that you have processed is meant to avoid exactly xenophobia and all those negative sentiments. And then also indicate to the speaker then, but however, you will go on to invite them, because you will process the documents you have passed, which are recognized everywhere, that they are progressive, they are in line with international migration policies. Even the work South Africa is doing within the AU along these lines, where they talk about free movement, you can package it and give it to them, the speaker's office, so that they are assured that the committee is going to be dealing with them fairly, okay, based on policy that you have passed. And then when you meet with them, you share the same documents.
Thanks. I think Adam and Eddie will assist just to craft that one letter of acknowledgement to the speaker's office, together with those attachments. But then the report will come at the end of the process. Honorable members, without much ado, I think this brings us to the end. But I can just indicate to yourself that there is a report that has been referred to us, I think, from IEC. When we have accessed it, then I think we'll try and distribute it. I think it's a report on the last election. But you'll just look at it. And then the refugee bill, it looks like it has not yet been passed in the NCOP. The committee has dealt with it, but it has not found its way into the House. So we'll just await until it has gone to the House, and then we'll deal with it. Thank you very much. Then this meeting is adjourned. I see again.